Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Linehan.
And we are on mission 1 million. By the end of this summer, this is episode 162. It is, if you're listening the date that it publishes, it's 626. So, you know, the guest today is a great songer and a great friend. His name is Troy Castellano. Troy, thank you for coming back.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm glad you asked me back. It's been like 3 years.
Well, you know, I checked and when in my workout today, I listened to the podcast that we did back then. It was October of 2021.
Oh, it was 20, yep, so yeah. Three.
And back then, we were celebrating our 10,000th stream, so we've come a long way. It's about time you come back.
You're about to break a million?
Yeah, we're about, yeah.
Congratulations.
By the end of the summer, we should be there. Yeah. And you are doing such fantastic things in the couple of years since it's been, since you've been here, releasing music, doing exciting things, haven't you?
Oh.
What a journey, huh?
Thanks, man. I'm like still trying to figure it out. You know, like, I have this push and pull with it all. Just to, if I can go back a minute, when I came here to Nashville,
about 10 years, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
2014. Okay, 20 years of my adult life I spent in Minnesota playing in cover bands. I always did kind of write songs, and I taught myself to record and things like that.
Cool.
And then 2008, all these things later in life, like way, you know, I figure like I'm 20 years behind everything.
Yeah.
Because I'm in middle age. I'm not afraid to admit it. But just that story's like playing covers. And then I had a label out in L.A. reach out to me and kind of courted me a little bit, offered a record deal. Now, at that time, I was 42 years old.
Wow.
And I'm like, you guys, you know, I won't get into that whole story, but I brought that contract back for my attorney to review it. And he represents a lot of big artists, too. But he's like, Troy, I know this is exciting, but these guys are new. They're going to own everything. It's going to be hard for you to get on top of this if you do. I don't see any marketing plan in this either. And he's like, don't do it. And I'm like, oh, I so wanted to defy his advice, but I know he was right. Yeah. And so that set things in motion like, okay, I know I want to create music. Right. And he said something to me. He said, Troy, man, you got everything going for you. You're just geographically challenged, living in central Minnesota, trying to make a livelihood out of music creation. Mm-hmm. You need to be in New York, LA, or Nashville. And I'd been to LA a number of times. I'm New York once when I was a kid, but I'm not a concrete and glass guy, so I can't do that. Came to Nashville for a workshop, Barbara Cloyd's workshop.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love because, you know, if I was a hippie back in the summer of love, it's like, that's what all these people, we're all like-minded. We're here for the same goals. We're all passionate about making music. And I went home and told my wife, man, if there's any way that we could move to Nashville, I would love that. And so.
And she's been very supportive, hasn't she?
Yeah. For the most part, it's been tough, actually. I mean, I'm not throwing her under the bus, but that, you know, she'd despise the music business for a while, it was really difficult because we were raising teenagers.
Yeah, that's hard.
And going through that whole thing, but hey, it's all good now. And she is,
are they grown and out of the house?
Yeah, I still have my sons at home, but they're all in their early 20s. Kale and Cleanup, my twins, Kalia and Kale, will be 21 in July.
Twins? How about that?
Yeah.
Do they sing?
Kale plays a little bit of bass. I'm trying to work him in.
Yeah.
Like, I want to...
Family band?
I want to enslave him as my bass player.
There you go. Wow.
But all of that, you know, all these years, I guess everything that's really happened to me for the most part on the good level of music is when I just kind of put on the blinders and didn't let other things take over my thoughts. As soon as I focused what I wanted to do, part of that was moving here. And yeah, so to finish that story, it's like 2 years after I took that workshop, I was able to move here, and it was under the premise, like, I'm not promising any success. Mm-hmm. All this stuff we're leaving in Minnesota will be here. If we want to come back, we can do it. And within a year, when our rent was up, or our renewal for the lease, they jacked up the rent like $300. And we're like, we're going to stay, right? Let's just go buy a house. So we bought a house in Columbia and been living there ever since.
Wow. And you got your own studio there.
Yeah. Fortunately, it was a shed that was there. Uh-huh. It really was just the bones, but it had power. He had 220 power out there, AC and heat, a little wall unit, but it was there, and water. And then I looked at that shell and I'm like, I'm going to insulate this. I'm going to drywall it. I'm going to finish it out just like a house inside. So basically it's like it's an extension of my house, but it's 50 yards away from the house. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Pretty cool to have your own studio.
And I can work out there, you know, early as I want, late as I want. Yep. And just started rehearsing with a little 3-piece band. So we got drums and bass and little PA, and it's not bothering the neighbors. I insulated it really well, though. I got the real good acoustic insulation. It's about 6 inches thick. So
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. If anything, incredible. You hear that thump.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that bass in there. Yeah. But
yeah. Have that bass thumping a little bit. Now, you recorded 2 records there, didn't you?
I recorded almost all my stuff.
All your stuff there. Okay.
Give or take a few sessions that I went and got the bed tracks, and then I take those sessions home, and I kind of have to have that control. I'm not like I singing in the studio and we're done. I'm like, because I know I'm going to leave and I'm going to go, oh, I wish I would have done that better.
Yeah.
Now this way I can finesse mainly the vocals. I can finesse that. And I prefer to sing it, not tune it, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, I hear you.
So I can get as many takes as I want and then comp it and go, there we go.
There's also something called auto-tune, you know, where you can adjust the pitch if you're a little flat or sharp, you know, but you don't buy that.
I do run it on there as an automation, like,
okay,
I don't really adjust it, but if there's any weird peaks, it'll take them out.
Hear you. And you got a new record out.
I do.
We share the same publicist, and let's say hello to Sherry Greenberg, who is just amazing.
Yep. Splash Publicity. She's amazing. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was just reading through the, splash that she sent out to me today. This Light Your Candle. It's a great song.
Oh, thank you.
You know, tell us about that. And I'm hoping maybe we could play that today.
Like, so that song is kind of, I guess, let me go back here. It's a little bit to where I start.
We're not there yet then.
Okay. Well, I started writing in Nashville to write songs for other people. I was kind of wanting to be lazy about it where, hey, I'll just write and I can go home like a 9-to-5, you know?
Yeah.
And if someone likes a song, you go make it famous and hustle it and I'll take the checks, right?
Write the songs.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after a few years of, I mean, I've had some strongholds and big,
well, I remember one in particular. I was in Charisse Boltori's office the day she got word that Keith Urban put one of your songs on hold. And I remember we called you, and I just knew you in passing.
Oh, that's right. You were in the office that day. I forgot about that.
And then you were excited.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, he didn't cut it, but what validation an artist like that would love enough the song to put it and say, listen, I'd like to have that one.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what kept me going, you know. And then fast forward past COVID, it's like, well, nobody's cutting my songs. I was an artist. I mean, I sang and played, and I was doing Troy Castellano in Minnesota. And like I said, I came here to just write songs. I wanted to just be a 9-to-5er.
Right.
And then after COVID, I'm like, nobody's cutting my songs, man. I'm going to just start writing some things solo that I don't want to really compromise on with other people. These are things that I want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're more about me And I just started putting those out and had some small success. I guess I have a regional hit up in
Minnesota.
Yeah, in the Midwest, yeah. Called Hell We Raise. So
I remember that song.
Yeah, and it it took off up there. It was getting some radio play. They still play my stuff up there. I'm really grateful, and I've been able to go back the last 2 years and doing sold out shows. Yeah, I'm like
that's awesome.
My joke is. Man, if I knew you'd love me this much when I left, I would have left a long time ago. You know, now that you come back, they're, embracing. But nah, everybody's really cool. I was just up there this weekend and
that's so cool.
Yeah, had a Very blast.
Good for you, man. That is really awesome.
But you see, it's so light your candle comes into this. It's like, just be who you are. You know, I don't care.
We preach that on this podcast all the time.
Do you?
Be who you are.
It's like, yeah, I don't care what your sexual preference is, what your favorite color is, if you're a Ford or Chevy guy. None of that matters
Democrat,
to me.
Democrat, Republican, whatever. Yeah, you know?
I don't care. Just go be you.
Be your own genre.
Do whatever lights your candle. Whatever trips your trigger, whatever floats your boat. And I went with light your candle.
I love that.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that's a flame and that's a torch and that's an... I don't know what the word I'm trying to think of, but it's
a beacon.
It's a beacon. Yes. That was what I was trying to think of.
Yeah. Wow. We are right, man. Once you play, can you play it for us?
Oh, yeah.
On your beautiful Godin guitar. Right. They're a sponsor of yours too, right? Godin?
Yeah, I actually.
Those are beautiful guitars. You're good.
Got an artist endorsement with them through the team at Godin. They're a Canadian company, but they're like the Canadian Gibson, if you will, you know.
Yeah.
And so they've just been really great. They've also donated some instruments to Instruments for Education as
well. We're gonna talk about that a little bit later on for sure.
So light your candle. All right, here we go. I don't care if you like your whiskey neat, what kind of shoes you like to put on your feet. I tend to not think much about what you do. I don't care what kind of car you drive, what kind of thrill makes you feel alive. All I want is you to be you. Yeah, write the words of your own song and let your light shine on. Wherever you go, wherever you are, follow the feeling in your heart. No, you can't go wrong if you just be yourself. Spread your wings, let your spirit fly. With every fire start, let your flame rise. Keep that torch bright up on a mantle and do whatever light you can know. Care less what you do at home, as long as you're not hurting anyone. Like they say, to each their own. And there's not enough time in a lifetime to hold back who you are inside. Life is short, so don't you wait too long. Wherever you go, wherever you are, follow the feeling in your heart. No, you can't go wrong if you just be yourself. Spread your wings, let your spirit fly. With every fire start, let your flame rise. Keep that torch bright up on a mantle. Do whatever light you can know. Yeah, whatever light you can know. Yeah, don't want to die with regrets, so chase those dreams you've been holding back. Wherever you go, wherever you are, find a feeling in your heart. No, you can't go wrong if you just be yourself. Spread your wings, let your spirit fly. With every fire start, let your flame rise. Keep that torch bright up on a mantle. Whoa, keep that torch bright up on a mantle. And do whatever light you can know. Chase those dreams you've been holding back.
Love it. Love it. Troy Castellano's our guest. That's his new song, Light Your Candle. Streaming everywhere, right?
Thank you. Yes. Yep. All the platforms.
All right. You got a video on that too out there?
I do not.
You
have
do
a
not.
Video yet.
Yeah. No. You know, I love that song for a lot of different reasons. I used to be the director of this little broadcast school in Cincinnati. And so I had a chance to really mentor a lot of young radio and TV people. And I used to tell them in the classroom every day, I'd say, you know what? Find your passion. If you don't know what your passion is, find it. I mean, if it's radio or television broadcasting and you're passionate about it, then go for it and live the dream. And so it's kind of the same message what you're saying here. Find what lights you up. What lights your candle?
Yeah, exactly. And don't be afraid to start too late even.
Right.
Like, just before you die.
Before you die. You know, Tim James was our guest just a couple of weeks back. Tim wrote some great songs like My List from Toby Keith and Love Like Crazy from Lee Brace. Just a couple.
Oh, yeah. Amazing songs.
And he really didn't start playing guitar until 33. Started being in bands in L.A. He didn't have his first number one song until age 40. And that was the Toby Keith song. And just a great inspiration and a great story. So let me ask you this. What lights up? What lights your candle, Troy?
What lights me up and what makes me want to get out of bed every day is basically the opportunity to try again.
Oh, man.
You know, every day is a second chance.
It is, isn't it?
Even though every day we're one day closer to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But every day to me is like, okay, this is an opportunity.
I'm writing it in my hook book. Every day is a second chance. I mean,
yeah. I have that in my hook book.
Oh, it's in yours
already. I haven't written it yet, but maybe that's something we could do.
You know, we've played together a lot, and I've seen you perform a lot, but we've never written together. We've got to change that this year.
Yeah. I kind of like, and it's not anything to do with people around me. It's just like, when I first came here, it was 5 days a week, two songs a day. I did have, was writing at a publishing house when I first got here. And after about 5 years of that, I just burnt out. I'm like, you know, what are we doing here? There's no real ROI coming in. This is when things started getting rough with me and my wife too. It's like, what are you doing? Like, you just playing in the sandbox all day, you know?
What are we doing with all these songs we're writing?
Yeah, right? And that too. It's like I was coming to terms with how do we write all these songs, or I'm also, you know, maybe I get a little anxious about it too, but it's like unfinished songs. Like when we get together and scheduling's got tough with getting everybody to write too. So anyway, the short end of that is like I just got to step back and I write maybe, co-write maybe 3-4 times a month. Wow. You know, really took it back. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not. For some reason, I need to see incentive out of it, because otherwise I've got other things that I need to pursue, like actually doing my own stuff now and being an artist.
So. Well, let me share my philosophy on that. Maybe it's the same as yours. I'm still in that. I don't do two a day, but I try to do at least, you know, 4 or 5 times a week. Very rarely I'll have a two a day. But I'm still in that phase where I think every time I'm in a session and I'm writing, I'm learning. And I think that I'm sharpening the chops time.
Yeah.
And not everyone is a hit. And you know that.
Yeah.
I mean, even hit writers will tell you, you know, that magic comes along every now and then. But I think every time it makes me a little stronger. And eventually I'll probably feel like you, and I'm starting to feel that way now. I've got a good catalog of songs that I feel are pretty good. That I can pitch and perform out. And then you can be a little bit more choosy, picky as to when when the inspiration hits you or who you want to write with. Is that kind of where you're at?
Yeah. You know, that's maybe the way you're looking at it also is like every song is a second chance.
Oh.
You know, like every, because I know that's how people do it, is like, hey, you're playing scratch offs, really.
Really?
You're playing scratch offs and you're hoping
so
one's a hit.
Oh, yeah.
And so you keep buying the cards. and most of the time, the money's not coming back out of it,
and you hope the money don't run out before you hit it big.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And but
what an analogy. That's amazing.
You can't win if you don't play.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you better have a passion if you're going to do that. You better really want to do this.
So, and the mode I'm in now is just kind of for me, just being an artist, saying things that like I want to put out there, and I guess, man, I just it's such a. It's such a love hate, and I don't know if that's a good trait. Like, if any publishers are listening to this and like we're considering, it's like, I'm gonna be who I am, and I'm not gonna like conform to meet the needs of something else. I just want to write the best things that are keeping me passionate about it.
Absolutely, you know? And you've had a lot of validation. I'm looking through some of the things that you've accomplished since our last. For instance, right now. You're up for a big award, right? For Midwest Songwriter?
Yeah, I was up for Midwest Song. They had the award show about 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. I didn't take home the Songwriter of the Year award, but man, just grateful for the nomination. I hadn't participated in any of these things. And then, like, again, back to me being an artist now, I'm like, I'll just throw my hat in the ring and let's see what happens. So
it helps. And Josie Awards?
Yep. That just came out yesterday. I'm like, oh man, I'm up for Male Country Singer of the Year. Uh-huh. And again, for anybody.
That's awesome.
For anybody. And also Songwriter of the Year for Pitch Portfolio.
What's that?
Meaning that your catalog, your pitchable songs, like not just Songwriter of the Year for songs that have been cut and became hits. It's mainly for what your catalog have. Yeah.
So you've got a good catalog built up. So what's the next step? What'd you do? From there.
What do I do? Mm-hmm. I still pitching them.
Yeah.
Here's another thing. See, maybe it's like, I don't know if it's jaded or what, but I'm like, I think I almost know
what you're going to say.
I don't want to pitch to somebody in the middle.
Right.
Who determines whether or not it's good enough for the team looking to listen. Because I have had the most success by going directly to the team. And if that's an indie artist or even some of the contacts with the major artists, I have a way to pitch. I will pitch to you because I know you are the deciding factor.
Yep.
It happened to me. I was using a service back in the late 90s and early 2000s called Taxi.
Yep. Heard of them?
Yeah. So they had a middleman. They had screeners.
Yeah.
And I would get all of these top scores and great evaluations.
Right.
And they wouldn't forward them to the listening people. Okay. Then Taxi started using another service called broadjam.com. And they were using their online mechanism to go from mail pitching to digital pitching, you know, send your file in and they could listen.
Right.
And so I'm like, their motto was no middleman here. And as soon as I started pitching there, my things were getting through and I started getting placements in, like one of them was MTV. They licensed 13 songs for me. They ended up being on TV shows like 60 and Pregnant, Mom's Moving In, I Used to Be Fat, Nitro Circus.
Wow.
And they're all instrumental ditties, but, you know, it was
and
like.
And they all pay.
Yep. And that ended up turning into a small deal with another music library called Scorekeepers Music. Uh-huh. But again, it was like no middleman. The people that were looking were hearing. Right. And I'm like, how crazy is that? All of a sudden, the people that are looking, I can pitch right to them, and they determine whether they want. Somebody in the middle is always protecting their own butt. They're afraid to send it because the door might close on them.
Yeah.
And I'm not going that route anymore as far as pitching.
You're pitching to a publisher or a spokesman for the publisher.
Yep, manager.
Are they more likely to represent you, your song, or one of their writers, you know?
Oh, I mean, and that too. We got to compete with that.
Yeah.
It's like if I know a band member, a producer, or even have access to that artist, it's like there's one I just pitched a couple songs to. That just got a deal, and he's had some cuts with, he had a big cut here with Cody Johnson. I won't say his name, but I'm like,
I know who you're talking about.
I pitch right to him, you know? That's the way to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And although they weren't for him, he's like, this is good stuff, man, you know?
Yeah.
But so that's kind of my beef or whatever with people in the middle, you know? And I'm, like I say, I'm not dogging anybody, but that's not the route I'm going to go.
Right. Gotcha.
I don't want to mess around with someone who determines whether it's good enough when they're not even in that circle.
It's interesting. Yeah.
You know, and I'm being blunt. I mean, you know, there's a lot of pay to pitch around here too. And it's like,
no,
man, good for them creating a business on it, but I can't
but I tell
do
you,
it.
I've done a lot of those and have had dozens of songs picked up and then you don't hear it. darn.
Exactly. You know, and then it's
little validation at the time that it happens, but
yeah,
really?
We're getting real here as writers.
Real, as writers.
Because like that's how I feel. It's like, this is great, man. I want to take it. And then I run to that publisher or that person. Hey man, if you're interested in more or
I got more,
and then nothing, or even like I've had the artist, like a radio played artist, like crying over the song, like, you know, he's just, oh my God, this is really killing me.
Yeah.
And then nothing. And I'm like, okay, that was pretty direct though. That wasn't.
Yeah.
There's great opportunities. I guess I still, if there's probably going to be access to somebody that I really wanted to, I'd still probably go through the pay to pitch. But man,
somebody you really wanted to, that you really got a song that you know fits. And
that's the other thing. Like, don't send anything unless you know it's amazing. Like how, I can't judge that.
I know, it's so hard to step away, isn't it?
Yeah. I can't go like, oh, here's the best one ever. You know, I don't know what you want.
A friend of mine always used to say this, and I had to say it in a songwriting session the other day. I was really silent, and they go, what are you thinking about? I'm going, you know, I wish I could hear for the first time what we just wrote so that I can make an unbiased judgment if it's working or not. But now that I know that it's, you know, I can't, you know, and it's just really hard. You know, you're your own worst judge. You know, I really think you are. But sometimes, you know...
You get a little bit of that when you step away for months, like when we've recorded a voice memo of our song,
right?
And then
you kind of forgot about it.
Yep. And then some, you come listening back through that stuff, and you go, "Wow,
that's working.
That's awesome."
Yeah.
You kind of got to get away from it for a while.
I think you do. That's a good point. We got to get away from it for just a little while. I got to put in some sponsor stuff.
You bet.
But stick around, because we have more and more songs from Troy Castellano.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Thank you, Kate Martin. She's an amazing voiceover artist that I get a chance to work with from time to time. She is just something. This is only the second time we've used these new opens and closes and re-entries. So thanks, Kate. Appreciate you. Troy Castellano is our guest, came up from Columbia, which is about an hour south of Nashville. We're here in Hermitage. Troy, it's so good to have you, and there's so many new things to talk about with you. You've got so many great new songs out, and I just looking over some of the things that you've done. Yeah, we talked a little bit about this the last time. You you played guitar on a Tommy Lee of Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Thing. Tell us about that one again real quick.
Methods of Mayhem, a public disservice announcement, and it was a Guitar Center flyer. I got, well, you remember when you get the Guitar Center catalogs?
Yeah.
Like in the back, it said, make a record with Tommy Lee.
Wow.
Log into his website, download the stems of this first song they're putting out, and then you put whatever you want on, whether it's guitar or flute or hand claps, whatever you think fits, put it on there, send it back to us. If we like it, we'll use it.
Wow.
And the first song, I pulled all their guitars out, and I just shredded a bunch of stuff, and it was like, that piqued their attention, you know?
Right.
But soon after, it took a year, they put out about 10 songs, and about the third song, the producer called me and said, man, all your tracks are coming through. We just love what you're doing, you know? Wow. What else do you do? Mm-hmm. His name was Scott Humphrey. He produced some Motley Crue stuff, but he was really famous for the Rob Zombie industrial metal rock, you know?
Yeah.
Heavy
metal.
Yeah. And then also, so he asked me, what else do you do? And I said, well, I do web design. And he goes, hey, Tommy, this guy does web design too. You want to talk to him? So I ended up talking to Tommy right away that day and did some website work for him.
Wow.
But so.
Man, so many talents.
Yeah. I mean, those
my
are
God.
Whatever. It's like solo creativity, right? then when that record was done, we didn't know who was going to make it. They would do these shout out videos throughout the year, like, hey, we really like this track from so and so. They got over 20,000 submissions, and about 40 of us made it on there. I made it on 3 songs for the guitar parts, and it was all chorus guitar stuff. And I'm credited on the record for 3 songs. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I got to go to. I got Scott says, "Hey man, when you're in LA, come on out over. I want to meet you." And so got together with Scott, and got to go to Tommy's house. I got a preview of the whole record before anybody. Wow. Like I didn't know I was on it, but we go down to the studio. It was called Atrium Studio. He goes, I said, "Yeah, man, I heard the record's all done and mixed." He goes, "Yep." He says, "You're on it." And so the first track they pulled up, I go, "That's my riff, man." You know,
that the huge riff.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. That's great.
I'm immortalized with Tommy Lee. He's, you know, next to John Bonham. I'm a rocker at heart.
Yeah.
Next to John Bonham, Tommy Lee is my favorite bombastic big drummer.
Drummer.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Pretty cool. And you've done. You mentioned a video there. You've done a lot of great videos, and I'm sure we can find them on YouTube. Like Quitter, which is a great video.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And you were a number one country video on iTunes?
So that was with the song I wrote with Elizabeth Lyons called Champagne.
Champagne.
Yep.
Okay.
She had a minor hit with that, and she got to tour. She got to do some of the bigger country festivals. And when that video came out, it was the number one that day.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Very amazing. Awesome. Yeah. I want to talk about instruments and education again, but first I want to hear another song. Your first release in 2024 was a very interesting song, and I know there's a story behind it, and I wanted to tell you about writing that song.
Yeah.
If you could share that story. So anyway, it's Whiskey in the House, huh? Whiskey in the House.
Whiskey in the House. You want me to play that one?
If you could.
Yeah.
Can you? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. So this song... I have a love-hate relationship with liquor, too.
Yeah, me too.
Not that I have, and I don't know. Take this however you will. I don't feel like I had a problem with it, but I noticed over the last few years it's become a bit of an ambition thief.
Mm.
Like in the way where after dinner, having a shorty, having a drink, and then I know I should go out in the studio and work, and then it's like, I'm going to have another one. And then after that second or third one, which are poured pretty deep, then it's like, "Whoa, what's on TV?" You know, and then not getting anything done.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that I just can't keep it in the house. If it's there, it's got to be out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Because, and maybe this is an alcoholic sign. I don't know. I don't care what people think. I've never been in trouble with it, but it's like... Mm-hmm. Maybe the sign is like, "It's sunny. I should have a drink." You know, it's noon. Pretty nice. I'm walking from my shed to from the studio to the house. I'm like,
5 o'clock somewhere.
Good day to have a drink, you know. Yeah. And I know that's not good occupation for your mind.
No.
So
whiskey song.
Oh, I gotta remember how to play. I'm not one to walk away from anything. I've been raised to put my boots on and walk on through. But I'm such a stubborn son of a gun, thinking that's the one and only thing to do. Oh, and maybe I'm just too afraid to say I quit, thinking I won't be myself if I don't take a sip. All those promises of warmth and cheer always brings it right back here to my lips. Oh, that bottle on the shelf is just a devil in disguise. This I know so well, because I fell for all the lies. When I pick it up, I won't want to put it down, even if I may burn this place to the ground. Fanning flames that I have a hard time putting out, a lot of fire that's hard to douse. That's why I can't keep whiskey in the house. Oh, I tend to say things out loud to start a fight. And those holes broke through the walls of things I can't take back. And in the morning, I'm just sorry for what I did the night before. And you're mad. Oh, that bottle on the shelf is just the devil in disguise. This I know so well because I fell for all the lies. When I pick it up, I won't want to put it down. Even if I may burn this place to the ground. Fanning flames that I have a hard time putting out. A light of fire that's hard to douse. That's why I can't keep whiskey in the house. Oh, they say out of sight and out of mind. I don't know if that's true, but I'm sure gonna try. Cause that bottle on the shelf is just the devil in disguise. This I know so well because I fell for all the lies. And when I pick it up, I won't wanna put it down. Even if I may burn this place to the ground. Fanning flames that I have a hard time putting out. A light of fire that's hard to douse. That's why I can't keep whiskey in the house. Oh, I can't keep whiskey in the house.
Great stuff. Let me tell you. I can't either. But I've noticed, and maybe you noticed this too, they're making them not as much in each bottle. It doesn't seem. Every bottle you get, there's not as much in it, right?
Yeah, right. The bottom comes quick.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, thank you.
You know, the lesson in the song, and we always like to do this on the podcast, you listen to a song like that with a great message. I think when you're approaching to write that, you have to be careful not to preach, right?
Yeah.
And you took a very delicate subject and you internalized it. And so it doesn't sound like you're preaching. It's just, this is what I've learned. This is me. Take it for what you want, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, definitely from my perspective, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's like all those promises of warmth and cheer always brings it right back here to my lips. Because you think it's going to enhance whatever you're doing, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
My favorite line in there is trying to put out a fire that's hard to douse, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's why I can't keep whiskey in the house.
Great rhyme.
Yeah.
We always talk, again, lesson behind the songs. I think, and Kerry Kurt Phillips told me this years ago. He's a great writer that someday we're going to probably have on this podcast. Kerry used to always say the most important line that he felt in the song was the line before the line that delivers the hook.
Yeah.
Line before. And so you take a rhyme like that, douse.
Yeah.
Can't keep reason. I mean, that's pretty cool, man.
Yep. Couldn't rhyme with mouse on that one.
No, no.
Douse had to work, yeah.
Yeah, so very, very good, yeah.
Fan in flames that I have a hard time putting out.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Sometimes they come like that for me, and sometimes it's just a chore to get there, you know?
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you find sometimes just playing the melody again, that sometimes it'll pop in?
Yeah, I'm all about, like, I think for me, and my process is a little longer than everybody's, I like to take my time, but it's got to come organically, you know, like it has to come from just what you're saying. I'll play through the couple lines that I'm trying to get to the next one, and then your brain just brings it out in a conversational way, and then I know, ooh, that's the one.
I do this, it's the same thing for me.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Do you feel like you're, I do it all the time, and don't get me wrong, but I always feel a little dirty hitting rhyme zone, you know?
I do.
Like, it didn't come organically. Now we're searching for a rhyme to force in there, you know?
If I do that, I'll punch near rhymes, and I'm looking for something that's unusual, that you're not expecting, like douse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you do feel a little guilty, but at least we're not putting up ChatGPT and going write the song, right?
No. Interesting. So I have prompted it to do some title writing,
right?
And I go like, it starts out maybe interesting, and then I'm kind of like, yeah. Well, that's like not the way somebody would, a human would.
Exactly right.
We are still different enough from that, but yes, I don't know how long we will be, because it will understand humans it is already. But
we talked about that on the radio show today that I do called the Nashville Connection, because Randy Travis has an AI.
I just heard about that. I didn't listen, though.
Yeah, and he can't sing anymore, but they could model his voice, and they had another person, a guy that sang with him for years, James Dupree.
Yeah,
laid down the vocal. They mix them both together. It sounds exactly like Randy Travis. And I'm like, whoa. And you know, so it's kind of scary to think about, you know?
Okay, I understood. I thought I just understood it wrong. I thought like AI was copying Randy, but they're using AI
a bedmaster kind of thing. And
they'll feed it the melody and the lyric.
Right.
And it's
they've already mapped out his voice, and they know, you know, how he inflects and
it's analyzed.
Range and it's analyzed, and then they mix them together, and you cannot tell it's not, you know, that it didn't record years ago. So, wow. But anyway, I digress. I wanted to talk real quick before we talk about what's happening in the future with you. You've got a great organization called Music in Education.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that great organization that, and in fact, I remember seeing a show that you did at Listening Room. I just had barely knew you then a couple of times. It was a great songwriter show raising money for this great organization. Tell us about this.
Yeah, Instruments for Education was a way, it kind of came to me by accident. Songwriter Victoria Banks reached out and said, hey, anybody got a keyboard that I could borrow for my husband, Dave Petrelli, who's a teacher. And so, I got one. You can have it, actually. Oh. And he sent me back this video of him teaching the fifth grade class he was teaching. He was teaching science, and he was teaching the phases of the moon.
Ah.
And they wrote the lyrics, they learned the science, and they sang it to the melody of Blue Moon. And they were all arm in arm, and I'm looking at that, I'm like, man, there's a teacher who cut through like as deep as you possibly could. You're getting into those kids.
Oh, yeah.
They're not bored. He had to calm them down. They were so excited about singing the song. And I'm like, awesome. All right. And I did. I think I asked him, like, can't you just get a keyboard? Maybe I asked Victoria, but like, can't you just get a keyboard from the band room and roll it down there? No. I'm like, all right. If I know enough songwriters and musicians around Nashville, and I see the dusty guitar or keyboard in the room they don't use, right, I'm going to start asking. If you donated that to me and I got it into the hands of a student, teacher, or school, would you donate it to me? And everybody said yes. So I had 10 donated within the first month. And then I went the whole legal route and went 501c3. That was 2018. It'll be 6 years this year.
Wow.
And this year we will hit, right now we've donated about 980 instruments. And that's thanks to the people that have donated them.
Wow.
And now I've got another, I've got about 100 electric guitars in my garage that we're getting prepped to do a big open house here in July. And this open house is setting to be done at the Mule House again. We did it last year. So last year we did what we called an open house. We brought all of our instruments into the Mule House. We invited parents to come with their kids and pick out an instrument. We could only do one per family because the line was all the way around the building.
Wow.
We had 175 instruments gone within 15 minutes.
Amazing.
I told them we'd be there from noon till 3. We were out of there by 1.
Oh, gosh.
which was a great thing, you know.
Isn't that something?
So we're going to do it again. Mule House has changed some ownership hands, so I just was on email with her today. We're going to finalize a day in July.
What is the Mule House? Can I?
The Mule House is there was a DJ named Blair Garner. Do you remember him? He did a kind of a Casey Kasem Top 40 syndicated country radio show.
Very cool.
And he bought that. It's a church that's been renovated into a music facility.
Wow.
So I seen Chris Jansen out there. They did a backyard bash out there we got to go to. But like I see Miranda Lambert shot a video there. Shenandoah shot a video there. Wow. It's a phenomenal. You got the whole sanctuary converted into a concert room with the stained glass and the balcony. It's really amazing.
Beautiful.
I don't know why it's struggling, and I'm not going to, you know, assume what's going on, but it's like, I think that place should just be flourishing, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like it should be. Where's it at?
Right downtown Columbia.
Columbia, okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
The Meal House, really good place. If you guys ever see any concerts listed there you want to go to, it's just really a fantastic room to be catching a show in.
You're going to, by the time this airs, you are probably going to be over 1,000
yeah, instruments. Hopefully.
And that's just awesome. Congratulations on
thank
that.
Thank you.
And thank you for what you do, because so many times in schools, they cut budgets. And music and theater and all that stuff is usually the first thing that goes. Well, hang on to the sports, but the music, yeah, we can live without that. Right?
Yeah.
Like, come on, really? Really?
Yeah. So, you know, I was at a school in Lawrenceburg, and like, this is just a memory I remember. About one of the drop-offs and what you're talking about, how music is the last thing. Mm-hmm. I started at the front office. We walked all the way through the building, through all the classrooms, through the gym, by the pool, by the gymnasium. I guess I said gym. Mm-hmm. But way back into this windowless room in the corner was the band room. And it was about as big as maybe your first floor of this. Yeah, it wasn't very big, and I'm like, this is what you get when you're way back here in the dark. Yep.
Oh man.
So I mean, we're a generation that a few generations now that have been brought up in the digital world, so they're not introduced to these real in your hand instrument things anymore, you know. Right, I don't know how many kids are picking it up, but when I ask, when I go into those schools, how many would like to play an instrument, all their hands go up.
Wow.
But I think the younger parents are like, they're not connected to that. Like, for me as a kid, we'd go to the mall. They had this place called Schmidt Music. It was a chain store. My mom would go do the clothes shopping, and I would say, I'm going to be in Schmidt Music. Mm-hmm. And I would mess around with everything, from a xylophone to the keyboards to the drums to the basses to the guitars. I was exploring for an hour in there while she'd be shopping, you know.
That's great.
And I think that's what you need to do, is introduce kids. Bring them to Guitar Center. You don't have to buy anything, but just let them go see that world, because this is such therapy. It's almost like riding mountain bike or bike. You get some solitude out of it. You get some, you know, a reset out of your emotions by playing an instrument. You get to vent with it.
Yep, yep.
Such a benefit.
It really is. Yeah. You've got a theme song associated.
I got a theme song, and I wrote this with my friend Doug Folkins and our good buddy Justin Love.
Justin Love!
And I had this idea. I'm like, I just want to write a song called Give Him a Guitar. And,
I love it!
And so we have a video, too, on our instrumentsforeducation.org page that you can see me making deliveries and all that kind of stuff. And it's to the theme song. Wow. Something special about a hand-me-down six-string. Learn a couple chords, get you feeling like Springsteen. You see someone in need, somebody with a dream, looking for some inspiration. Well, give them a guitar, yeah, a good place to start. Something they can always hold on to. Start up a band with a couple of friends. Opening doors they may never have walked through. Might be a microphone or an old kick drum, but a surefire way to get a heart to hum. Well, give him a guitar. Yeah, give him a guitar. Garage band, school of rock, church, pew, choir. In the bedroom, front porch, or backyard fire. Music works like that. It's always giving back, changing life one note at a time, yeah. Well, give him a guitar, yeah, good place to start. Something they can always hold on to. Start up a band with a couple of friends. Opening doors they may never have walked through. Might be a microphone or an old kick drum, but a surefire way to get a heart to hum. Well, give him a guitar. Yeah, give him a guitar. Give him a guitar, yeah, good place to start.
something they can always hold on to. Start up a band with a couple of friends. Opening doors they may never have walked through. Might be a microphone or an old kick drum, but a surefire way to get a heart to hum. Well, give them a guitar.
You betcha.
Yeah, give them a guitar. Something magical, something beautiful right there in their hands. Well, give them a guitar.
I think you solved the problems of the world on that song. Right there. Just give them guitar.
Yeah, just give them a guitar. Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What do you got to lose? And you can get guitars pretty cheap now. We give them away, but
yeah.
You know.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love what you do. Thank you for doing that.
Thank
That's
you.
Just pretty awesome.
It's for me as much as it is for them. You
I'll
know?
Bet, huh?
Yeah. It's probably the most rewarding part of the music business for me.
Yeah.
It's also like... Well, I guess that's it. I felt like I was always taking when I came to town here.
You're giving back.
Can you introduce me to so-and-so? Can you play my song for so-and-so? Hey, can you put me in your album? Can you, like...
Oh, yeah.
After a while, I don't like that. It's like, right. I just want to... Mm-hmm. Let's give back instead of take, you know?
I love that. I love that you do that. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I bet you do get just as much out of it, you know? So.
Yeah, for sure.
You've got a lot of cool things happening. I know I read that you are going to record a Muscle Shoals sound... Ton of Muscle Shoals.
Yeah.
And you know, a couple of years ago, it was before COVID, Patty and I went down and spent a weekend at Muscle Shoals. And it just, you know, you walk into places like Fame.
Yep.
And you could feel the, you know, same feeling as I walked into Ryman, the hairs on the back of your neck, all the great hit records that came out of Muscle Shoals. Then you go over to Muscle Shoals Sound, that very famous stone brick
front,
you know.
3614 Jackson Highway.
3614. And, you know, all the great artists that's recorded there, everybody from Cher to Boss Gags and Seeger and Skynyrd,
yep.
You know, and you're recording there.
Rod Stewart,
that's right.
Yeah, just so,
Stones.
Yeah, the Rolling Stones. I mean,
yeah.
So, like... When you just said that, when you walked in there, when I went to that one first, and then we did Fame later, but I was like just blown away by how many of these songs have been the soundtrack of my life.
Right.
And here I am standing there, and I literally was rubbing the wall, like I'm rubbed some of that off on me, and I told my wife, so this was 8 years ago, I told my wife, I'm going to come back here and record a song one day, I swear that I'm going to make it happen.
Mm.
And then I happened to write a song with Mark Narmore, who I met through the Muscle Shoals Songwriting Festival.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really know each other. I've seen him play, and I went up and introduced myself, and he said, man, I've heard of you. And I can't believe we ain't written yet. So I'm like, oh, man, well, okay, we got to do that.
Uh-huh.
Took a few months to get there, but we finally did, and then we were right across the road from Jackson, 3614 Jackson Highway, and I'm like, man, you have access to that place? Because I want to go record this song that we wrote there. And yeah, and he's got the players together, and it's some of the late Swamper team, you know?
Wow.
Will McFarland's on guitar. That's the one I remember. And his brother, I believe it's James. I don't know a lot of the names, but I'm like, these guys have played on so many hit records.
So many hit records.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. We're going to document it. We'll have a little film crew there. And it's like, hopefully I can make it more than just a recording, like an event for me, really.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I can't imagine anybody not being interested in seeing that.
Yeah.
I want to.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that project for you.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, what this kid from Central Minnesota is like going to go. I mean, I know we all could, but it's like, I'm going to go record where all these songs I've heard. All the Bob Seger stuff, man, was a big influence on me.
And
even though I'm a rocker, I was really influenced by a lot of soft 70s rock. And Paul Simon's recorded there. Kodachrome.
Right.
I mean,
Kodachrome.
Come on.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had set days aside to record that record. And from what the tour guide was telling me, they did in like 45 minutes because those guys had it down, you know. And he's like, oh, maybe I've got three extra days. Maybe I can record the whole album here. Was so impressed, told the Swampers, I'm going to give you a percentage of this. I can't remember how much it was. Mm-hmm. The percentage of everything we sell is going to come to you guys.
It's amazing what them guys created, that team of, I guess I'd say 6 to 8 players down there.
Yeah, they called them the Swampers, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Skittered.
And instinct, man, you just, okay, I don't even have to tell you what to do. You guys got it.
I mean, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hit records. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. You know? And I experienced that with some session. You have too. Players around here. You're just like, man, you just do your thing. Cause you have you have that initial.
Not going to get in your way. Just you do your
instinct. And it's, I always walk away and I go like, wow, that's so much better than I even thought it was going
to
be.
I know, me too. I get that feeling too.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many stories. If you get a chance to tour Muscle Shoals, it's a great tour.
Yeah, go watch the documentary. It's on Netflix. Oh, yeah. Muscle Shoals Sound, I think it's called, or Muscle Shoals.
It's fantastic. It really is. Troy, I know you got to be to another appointment, so I'm going to catch you off right here, but I'm going to tell you what, I totally enjoy our conversation.
Me too,
Dave. Thanks for sharing some songs with us, and keep doing all the great stuff you're doing.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It is my pleasure, my friend.
All right.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.